I want to start out with a question this morning. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a snake. Pretty much everyone has seen a snake. I have this stranger than fiction snake story that I want to start out with today. I lived in the country growing up, and across the dirt road from our house was a steeply banked creek that fed into Lake Huron. Next door to our house lived Mrs. Schneider, in whose yard there were great big old apple trees. And on the other side of her yard was a great undeveloped forest of trees and marshes. Growing up surrounded by water and the woods, we saw a lot of garter snakes. In the yard, in the woods down the road, in the weeds and reeds on the banks of the creek, and along the undeveloped shoreline of Lake Huron. One summer, my mother was out working in the yard when she came across a garter snake. Now, back then, we didn't really think too much about the interconnectedness of life, about the food chain and all the good that animals like snakes do out in the country, keeping the field mice population in check, eating the leeches in the creek. So when my mom came across this great big snake in the yard, sadly, its days were numbered. So after a quick death, Mom put the dead snake in the 50-gallon drum that sat by the driveway that we used for yard waste and that was in full view of the kitchen windows. Growing up with three brothers, I became a tomboy. And about this time, I had a crush on a sweet boy that lived in the next house down the dirt road. You know how children sometimes have a strange way of showing that they like someone? Later on in the day that the snake died, my crush came over to our house to play. Now, with full disclosure, I have no memory of the decision-making of what or why I did what I did next. I can remember starting out bragging about this huge snake that my mom had killed in the yard, and wanting to show her strength and it off. Before you know it, I'm teasing my crush by brandishing the corpse of this dead snake like I'm in some kind of Wild West roping contest. And then I hear the sound of my mother frantically rapping on the kitchen window with her knuckles, calling me into the house to talk to me. Never a good sign. I hadn't even made it into the kitchen through the back door when she asked what in the world I thought I was doing with the body of that dead snake scaring that sweet boy that lived next door. Is that any way for a lady to act? I heard a lot of that growing up. The Israelites had a stranger than fiction snake story too. So a little backstory for today's Old Testament reading. A month out from their escape from Egypt, the Israelites are camping in the wilderness of Zin, adjacent to the land of Edom, the same Edom in today's Old Testament reading. They've run out of water, losing faith. They set upon Moses and tell him they wished they'd never left Egypt, the land of their slavery. They wished they died there. Why did he take them to this miserable country where there is no grain, no fruit, no grapevines, no bread, and now no water? So Moses and his brother Aaron go into the tent to pray, where Moses is told how to give them water. Can anyone tell us how he gives them water? What does he do? He taps on a rock. Their thirst quenched, they continue on their journey to the border of Edom. And there, the king tells them that no one can step on his land under penalty of death. So they have to take even more time to detour around it. And it is during this tour that Aaron dies and is buried on top of Mount Hor, which catches us up to today's Old Testament reading. The people are again losing faith, getting impatient. They'd starved until the manna fell from heaven, and now they're complaining about even that. whining and moaning about dying in the desert when they could just as well have died in Egypt. The people are in crisis. The God light has streamed into their world, leading them away from the darkness of slavery. But as many men and women in times of trial do, they ran back for the familiar darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone made a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hating the God light. They didn't come near it, fearing a painful exposure of complicity in their own wrongdoing. So what does God do in response to all of this hateful complaining? God sends down poisonous snakes, in some translations, fiery snakes, which kill many of them. And just as they did with the golden calf, the people changed their minds again and asked Moses to intercede on their behalf. They tell Moses, "Ask God to take these snakes from our midst." And in response to Moses' prayers for mercy, God doesn't just take the snakes of doing evil, hating the God light, away, though God could have. God doesn't just heal the people who've been affected by the poison of hate, though God could have. Instead, God tells Moses to build a copper or poisonous serpent and put it on a pole. Those who were bitten by a snake could then look upon the copper snake and live. Like I said, a stranger-than-fiction snake story. It's almost as if through death comes life. Which reminded me of a friend's blog and the image that he posted of the serpent cross sculpture by Italian artist Giovanni Fantoni that stands atop Mount Nebo, the vantage point from which Moses is given a view into the promised land. It reflects both the serpent from the reading from Numbers and the body of Christ crucified. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so the people could have something to look upon and then believe, so it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up. And everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, an eternal life. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. Jesus came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without even knowing it. This is the crisis we too are in. God light streams into our world, but men and women everywhere, you and me, instead we turn for the darkness. We went for the darkness because if we're honest, there are times when we're not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and delusion, turns from the God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. Just like the people of the Exodus, we've forgotten what God has done for us, and we too think we can get along without God. So we bring and create conflict, denial and disorder, sickness and death with us, carrying and creating a plague of snakes that fall down upon us and upon our relationships. Moses erecting the serpent is a way for us to look upon those parts of ourselves that live in the darkness, a way for us to confront our complaining and hateful ways and turn to the God light instead. We may be healed from the venomous bite of these serpents by looking up to see that God is still the source of our strength and a very present help in times of trouble. For anyone seeking and living in truth and reality, welcomes the God light so that the work of our lives may be transformed for the God work that is intended to be. I'd like to close with a poem by Andrew King called "The Serpent Dies." No need to explain how the serpent's bite surfaces stealthy as the coming of night. while you're reading the news or worried and alone, or when suffering long or when a doctor intones challenging words, or when darkness falls or the voice on the end of the telephone call declares a once loved relationship done, when hope seems lost, when joy seems gone. No need to explain how this serpent hides next door to our hearts, marks left inside, where poison drips from the tip of its fangs in rage, in bitterness, in lonely pangs of guilt and regret, in the resentments we bear, and in hurts that we cause, we do our own share of spreading its toxin and resulting grief. The serpent is death, the fear of it, relief. Ever seems to elude us, but we may declare its ultimate defeat. For above its shadow there rises greater light. See lifted up the one who for us drank the cup of suffering, whose love even in death conquered its evil by whose living breath. We also may thrive, we turn trusting eyes, snake bitten upon Christ, and the serpent dies. And may all God's people say,